Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, John T. Brown. We have a very exciting show today for you. Today we have Miss Alexandra Levine from Jexic, Inc., who is the treasurer of the organization. We're going to welcome her on the show, and we're going to jump right in. Hi, Alexandra. How are you?
Hi, Tonti. It's great to be back.
It's awesome to have you back on. Please let me know that I said your name the correct way.
Yes, it was perfect. It was perfect.
All right. Awesome. For our new guests that are listening, or for our new listeners for the show, just give everybody a little background on yourself, and then we can, you know, get into Jexic, and then whatever other issues you want to talk about that you want to share with the American people.
Well, I am from Sarasota, Florida, originally, born and raised. I am identified now as a young millennial. I have been a professional opera singer my entire life. I still sing professionally to this day. Unfortunately, during the Obama economy, opera houses were closing down worldwide and nationwide, and I had to switch professions. So I switched into the retail industry for a long time, and then I switched into the health insurance profession where I work with my father. But singing has always been a part of my life, and because of the Trump economy, I am singing more. More opportunities are happening for me in that arena. So I thank President Trump for that, and I thank President Trump that I don't have to work three part-time jobs to make ends meet. But going back before that, politics was never really big in my life until 2015, when Barack Hussein Obama won the second term, and my father and I looked at each other and we said, we need a change agent in here. We need a business guy. We need someone that has lived the Obama economy, someone that isn't of the establishment, someone that isn't of the norm. And when President Trump announced he was running, I said, you go for it, man. You take it. You win it. And I've been a hardcore Trump supporter from the beginning. And I campaigned hard for him in 2016. I started the Juice for Trump movement in Sarasota County, which is now a nationwide organization. Then after he won in 2016, I became the state leader for the America First Coalition, which is a 501c3 organization. And I did the whole state. And I got Governor Ron DeSantis elected, as well as U.S. Senator Rick Scott elected, as well as other Florida congressmen and state legislators. And then after that, in October 2018, I was approached by my president and founder, Michelle Lubin Terrace of #Jexit, to be a part of her movement. And essentially it was, you know, Jews exiting the Democratic Party. But she said, it's not just Jews that need to exit. It's Christians. It's other minorities. It's other orientations. We all need to work together as one. And the Democratic Party is not the party of Harry Truman and JFK. It is a completely different party. This new, quote unquote, Democratic Party is not the same. Democratic socialism is a detriment to our nation. And she started this movement, and it is a huge movement, and it's also a nationwide organization. It is a 501c4 educational organization. And another thing that we do is we go nationwide, we do rallies, but we specifically focus on combating anti-Semitism, the persecution of Christians and other minorities. And we actually, all of our founding members, the majority of them are women, 5 conservative Jewish women and 2 men. And we're a very tight group, tight family, but it has become a nationwide success. And I'm so proud of the work that my president and founder, Michelle Lubin Terrace, has done with this movement.
I am so proud of the work that you are doing and all of those who started the Jexit movement. I have converted to Judaism a few years ago, so I am very passionate about protecting our Jewish religion, our Jewish faith, and all of our sisters and brothers who are struggling here in America and abroad. You have tackled and have taken on a great deal. And I'm very humbled and honored by you coming on the show and sharing your experiences and knowledge to the American people. How or what is the message, one of your theme messages that you would like to share? We know that democratic socialism exists. For those people who want to get involved or get on the ground level, what do we need to do? Because I know we need to start working on re-educating people and reframing their thought process.
One of the main things that we need to do is we need to go back to our Judeo-Christian values. That's what's being lost in our nation. And that's what's not being taught in school. Unfortunately, it's only mandated in 7 states in the nation to teach the Holocaust, which is very sad, because the problem is the states that are not teaching the children the Holocaust, they're teaching things that are irrelevant in the curriculum. The Holocaust is something that's real. It wasn't just Jews that were massacred. They were gays, they were blacks, they were Catholics, they were disabled people, they were mentally challenged people. And that needs to be taught. We just had the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, which was a death camp. Every student, every person should visit Auschwitz in Warsaw, Poland. And then after they go to Auschwitz, then they need to visit Yad Vashem in Israel, in Jerusalem, Israel. That is the Holocaust Museum in Israel. And then once they go from Auschwitz to Israel, then they need to visit any Holocaust museum in their state or anywhere nationwide. I live in D.C. There's a very famous Holocaust museum in D.C. It is real-life footage of Auschwitz, Bergen-Belsen, and Birkenau. And you also get to hear real-life stories from Holocaust survivors. I know in Congress today, Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas is trying to push a bill that the Holocaust be taught in all schools nationwide. But what needs to be really taught is when a woman like Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez compares a detention center to a concentration camp, that's where the teacher needs to come in and educate the students on the difference between the two and have a Holocaust survivor come into the school and show the numbers that have been permanently marked on her wrist on his wrist for the rest of their lives. Because at that point, it's regardless of party. This is about facts now. And the squad is not teaching the American people the facts. I myself go on Facebook Live at least once a week, and I teach the facts to the American people. And the young Jewish millennials are seeing it now on their college campuses, that because they are Jewish, they're getting ridiculed. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have democratic socialism in Congress. We as the American voter are the judge and the jury, and we need to vote these people out of office and never let them be in office ever again and never let them enter the presidency. Because if we don't pass term limits in this country and Congress and people like the squad stay in power, God forbid they may one day, you know, God forbid they become president of the United States. It's what we don't want. The sooner we vote them out, the sooner we can get back to our lives. The sooner President Trump can continue to do the job that the American people voted for him to do. Because the Democratic House is stopping the president from continuing to help the American people. The America First agenda is the agenda that needs to be followed by everybody in Congress and the Senate. The fact that freshman squad, I just want to finish this point. The fact that freshman squad are taking over and they have the power over Speaker Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others is very detrimental to our nation and to the world.
You are on point with your information. And I'm very thankful that you're on our show, that you can help raise the level of consciousness to millennials. I think we hit the nail on the head when you said education. our public education system today is not concerned about teaching our children about the history of the Holocaust, about Black history, American history, but their educational system is engaged and in talking about immoral and irreparable, or I should say, immoral acts of trying to educate our children based on someone's sexual orientation. But that is not going to help our children compete in a global society. And that's not going to help our children compete in America. And on the heels of Martin Luther King, it undermines what he died for when he says that, "I hope that my children are judged by the content and character of my skin." 60 years later, why is it important someone's sexual orientation and their accomplishments because of their sexual orientation? I find it very disgusting and immoral. And yes, once the public education system removed our Judeo-Christian values as prayer we used to have in the school, the Pledge of Allegiance, it started eroding our educational system to promote this liberal socialist agenda, not even liberal, radical socialism. Because, like you said, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Someone's sexual orientation and all these other disgusting things that they're trying to impose on our children are not appropriate. And we must push back. Because we're pushing back now. Look how far they've gone. So if we don't continue pushing back, they're going to turn our country upside down. So you made valid points, especially as it relates to education. And as I interview people over the country that are running for Congress, I'm urging them to look at the educational aspect on how we're teaching our kids. We're not teaching them about American history, civic duty, statesmanship, the Holocaust, Black History Month, or it's just one month or whatever. We're not talking about American history. Forget about everything else. You know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And so I'm glad that you brought up that point of reference, and I'm so happy that you're fighting and raising a level of consciousness among millennials to reorientate how they think. Yeah, please, Alexandra, please, go ahead.
No,
we need this information from you.
And that's what hashtag Jexit does. We educate young people, our Christian brothers and sisters, Blacks, Native Americans, Hispanics. We educate everybody on why this is so important, that we need to combat anti-Semitism, the persecution of Christians and other minorities and other orientations, because we don't want it to happen again. You know, the saying never again means never again. That is our fact. And the problem is that all of these people are getting away with hate crimes, and it's not good. And I have so many people like, "Oh my God, you know, I just read in the paper this happened and that happened and this person was attacked." Okay, what are you doing after that? I mean, there were 13 anti-Semitic attacks that were reported in New York City since December 8th, 2019. It took the 13th attack for Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio to say something about it, but then they blamed President Trump over it, which is not right, and it's not true, and it's not fair. And then Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio have a, quote, anti-hate rally, which had Ocasio-Cortez, who's a democratic socialist, who stands with Linda Sussor, who stands with CARE, who stands with Bernie Sanders, who stands with Black Lives Matter. And these are people, and Dream Defenders, and the Muslim Brotherhood, and these are people that say, you know, death to America, death to Jews, death to everybody. That is not a real anti-hate rally, and that doesn't bring awareness. That was a photo op and pure propaganda. What hashtag Jexit does is we actually have people that have had real life experiences with this. And that's why we're doing a huge rally in Boca Raton Sunday, February 23rd at the Sanborn Square Park. The address is 72 North Federal Highway, Boca Raton, Florida 33432. And the reason we started this rally is because of an anti-Semitic situation that happened at the Boca Raton High School. There was an article, and everyone can look it up, at this, it was on the Sun Sentinel, January 21st, 2020. A young girl, a 16-year-old girl, was harassed by another young boy for being Jewish. He went after her for being Jewish. Every other day he was going after her and going after her and going after her. And finally, her guardian, Yvonne Ricardo, said, "We've had enough." And nothing was done. And the quote, hashtag hate crime is not a classification in Palm Beach County's student conduct code. So what does that mean? That means nothing gets done. They don't consider anti-Semitism in Palm Beach County a hate crime. And that's not good. That needs to be changed. I didn't talk about my story, but I will. Growing up in Sarasota, Florida, at the Davis, I was heavily, heavily discriminated against for being Jewish. At the age of 6 years old, when people found out I was Jewish, they told me I couldn't come to their home because their grandfathers were former Nazis and they hated Jews. When I invited kids in my class to come to my house, they saw a mezuzah on my doorpost, they saw a menorah in my house instead of a Christmas tree, and they said, "Oh my God, I'm in a, quote, Jew house. Get me out of here." I would go to pool parties with girls. I have very dark, thick, curly hair. And they would say, "Get that Jew hair off of me." I mean, this is real life story. This happened in the 90s in Sarasota. They wouldn't allow Jewish people to obtain businesses there or conduct business in country clubs in Sarasota, Florida in the 90s. And now, fast forward, it's happening now in 2020. I thought we were over that. I thought we were over it in 1948. I thought we were over it in the 90s. I thought we were over it in 2020. And it's heightened. And the FBI data showed today a worldwide a data number that there is a 37% increase in anti-Semitic attacks from 2014 to 2018. Barack Hussein Obama was president in 2014. The last 2 years of his presidency, that's when the attacks were really high and on the rise, because he opened the vacuum to ISIS by bringing the Muslim Brotherhood and Black Lives Matter into the White House. President Trump is trying to fix this problem and put Americans first. But again, we got too many in power, and it's all about power with them. They don't want to fix the issue; they're afraid, and it's really sad. That's why our movement brings awareness to that.
For those that are tuning in, this is U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. Well, this platform does have a strong conservative bent. I am proud and honored to have on my show today a millennial Jewish sister of mine, Alexandra, talking about her experiences being Jewish in America today, as well as identifying how the Democratic Party has moved towards socialism and has abandoned the people that they purport that they want to help. Alexandra, I guess I have two strikes against me. I'm black and I'm Jewish, so I guess they'll be coming for me soon. But
exactly.
You're right, you know, and I don't doubt it. I mean, I'm saying it as a joke. When we stand up for our religious freedoms, when we stand up for our right to speak, right to practice our religion, right to have a mezuzah on our doorposts, you're right. People are threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to stop it. We need to stop the violence, and we know where all the hate is coming from. It's coming from the left. We see it with the squad.
The Jewish liberals in power, like Bernie Sanders and Chuckie Schumer and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, and now former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, are giving Jewish people a bad name. This is not how Jewish people are. They're giving us a bad name, and it's so sad. It's really sad. They're all power hungry and money hungry, and that is not the Jewish way. They don't read the Torah, or they've read the Torah upside down. It's really sad. I think they need to go back to, again, they need to go to synagogues and maybe have another bar mitzvah, because they really don't know what Judaism is all about. It's not about this. It's not about greed. It's not about it at all. It's not about getting somebody out of office because you don't like their language. That's not what this country was founded on. That's not Judeo-Christian values. And hashtag Jexit is the Judeo-Christian revival. That is what we are about. And that's why we have these rallies. That's why our rally February 23rd at the Sanborn Square Park, where we focus on what happened to this young 16-year-old girl and how that will affect her later in life. She hasn't even gone to college yet, and she's experiencing anti-Semitic attacks against her. I'm an NYU graduate. I got my master's from NYU. There is so much anti-Semitism on the NYU campus, and there's a lot of Jewish people that attend NYU. And I've talked to college girls that are going through the same thing that this young 16-year-old girl in Boca Raton High School went through. And it's very sad. And that's why we need to, what we say, we fight for something. We don't fight against something. Jewish people need to start fighting for something. We need to fight for our rights, our First Amendment rights, because it's so important. A lot of these liberals nowadays do not have God in their life. They're taking the word, like we were saying, Chauncey, they're taking the word God out of their life. And that's the problem. Again, we can't have this continue to infiltrate our nation. We can't have democratic socialism continue to infiltrate our nation, because we as Jewish people and Christians and anyone else of any race or orientation will have to leave the United States of America and move somewhere else that accepts us. And it shouldn't be that way. We left Nazi Germany to get away from this. My ancestors are survivors of the Holocaust. It's insane what's going on. It's insane.
If I may, Alexandra, I'm thinking about a biblical quote from Ephesians while we're talking, and please allow me to share the quote with the public, because what you're talking about, this is so applicable. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what my guest Alexandra has identified, and that we must fight against, America, for everyone. As Alexandra stated, this is not just about Jews. This is about saving humanity.
Correct.
And you are absolutely correct. When you have the Nadlers, the Schumers, they're really, I call them democratic terrorists, because they are not doing anything to enhance the quality of life for all people here. Their political greed, their power greed is so open. And I'm glad that you and other millennials are starting to call it out for what it is. I'm very, very proud of you guys, because we already know,
started,
as you know. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was going to say I started to see the shift when I worked on Governor Ron DeSantis' campaign, because he won 35% of the Jewish vote in 2018, which was more than Rick Scott won in his gubernatorial race and his Senate race. And the reason that Governor Ron DeSantis won such a high percentage of the Jewish vote is because he was running against a known Democratic socialist, former mayor of Tallahassee, Andrew Gillum. And Governor Ron DeSantis called Andrew Gillum out for being a supporter of Dream Defenders and BDS and Black Lives Matter and George Soros and Tom Steyer and all these liberals in the world, and where this liberal and where his money was coming from. And Governor Ron DeSantis really pushed President Trump to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was Governor Ron DeSantis' big accomplishment when he was a congressman in District 6. So it's very important how the more that like I said, the average Jewish American person does not support democratic socialism. So a lot of these candidates that are running against democratic socialists, they really need to pump that out every single day. If you're running against somebody who is a supporter of CARE, which is a known terrorist organization, it's run by Hamas and Islamic Jihad, you call them out. You bring that piece of paper that shows that they supported CARE in 2019 or 2018 or 2017. You bring it out every single day and you pound the narrative. That's why Governor Ron DeSantis did such a great job with the Jewish vote, because he pounded the narrative. And we believe that President Trump will win a lot more of the Jewish vote in 2020 because he's pushing that narrative every single day that the Democrats support CARE, they support Muslim Brotherhood, they support Islamic Jihad, they support BDS, Black Lives Matter. He pushes that narrative every single day. That's why it scares me when I hear that Senator Bernie Sanders is surging in the polls. We don't want that. But if God forbid he ever becomes the nominee, which I don't think he will, but if he does, President Trump will push that narrative every day. Look at this person. Look who he supports. Look who's funding him. And I'm telling you, the average American Jew is not going to vote for a Bernie Sanders. It's going to be a complete landslide. And the goal is to get President Trump to get 35 to 40% of the Jewish vote in 2020. That is the goal. Another thing I just want to touch on is that #Jexit is going to Israel. May 2020, it's called Jerusalem Day. We are partnering with a great organization called the United West, which is run by Tom Trento and Dr. Vani Wexler. And they go every year. They've been doing this for almost 10 years now. And we will be visiting the new embassy in Jerusalem. We will be visiting the new ambassador to Israel, David Friedman. We will be interviewing American Jews that have made Aliyah, where we say they've moved to Israel, they keep their dual citizenship, they vote in our American elections, they voted 95% for Trump in 2016, they will vote 98% for him in 2020. It's very important that we need to, that American Jews that live in America need to ask, why are American Jews, or why do they love Trump? And what's going on here? How can we break the divide? And that's what #Jexit does, and that's what we're going to be doing. That's our main mission. Because, again, never again means never again. And there's a reason why American Jews keep their dual citizenship and they vote for Trump in the elections. There's a reason. And we need to have that foundation and keep that and bring that foundation back to the United States of America. And I'm telling you, our movement, we see people exiting, or what we say, jexiting the Democratic Party every single day. One of our board directors, Cantor Sigi Goldenholtz, he was at the RJC convention in Las Vegas last year with three other jexiters, and he told his testimonial right before the president was about to speak. And I encourage everyone to go on our website, jexitusa.org, to hear his testimonial. And we have more testimonials. More is going to start happening. More Jews are going to start jexiting the Democratic Party. It is very important, especially now in 2020, that we do not have democratic socialism invade our nation and stick in our nation.
Alexandra, unfortunately, we are out of time. Please, I want you to come back, because you have an enormous amount of information that we must get out to the public. How can people reach, donate, and volunteer to the campaign and organization of Jexit? We have about 40 minutes.
Yes,
40
thank you. So you can, yeah, so please go on our website, jexitusa.org, jexitusa.org. You can email us, info@jexitusa.org. That's info@jexit, jexit.org. I just want to make a quick note. We have a new addition to our organization. Her name is Siggy Flicker. Her family are Holocaust survivors. She was a former Real Housewife of New Jersey, if you ever saw that show on Bravo. But she is a big advocate for Israel. She jexited from the Democratic Party. She's a big supporter of President Trump. We love her. We're so happy to have her. And she's coming on our trip to Israel with us, with her father. And she just came back from Warsaw, Poland. She was at Auschwitz for the 75th anniversary of the liberation. And okay. She has a wealth of knowledge, too, and she's a great person. But please go on jexitusa.org to donate and be a part of our rally Sunday, February 23rd, 12 to 3 p.m.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you so much for calling in to U.S. National Politics. Please join us this Wednesday. We have Dr. Helen Horvath, 2020 independent candidate running for Congress, District 50, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're out of time. Please follow us on Facebook, at U.S. National Politics and also on Twitter. And we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Thank you very much for tuning in. And have a blessed day.